Wisconsin state lawmakers just wrapped up a very busy legislative session. They decided the fate of new legislative maps, constitutional amendments that will go before voters, and more. Joining us now to discuss is WPR state capitol reporter Anya Van Wagtendonk, here to talk about what changes Wisconsinites could be seeing this upcoming year. Anya, there have been quite a few pieces of legislation that made it through both chambers of the legislature over the past few months. What are some of the biggest bills that have made it that far to the finish line?
Certainly the biggest change were the new legislative maps that were signed in February, which create new districts and will really shift who's serving where in the state Senate and assembly. That could have ramifications for many, many years. It's something that was in the works for many months and really wrapped up in the last couple of weeks. The other bill that kind of likewise took many months to take shape has been the deal between Assembly Speaker Robin Boss and the UW Board of Regents over ending positions related to DEI or diversity, equity, and inclusion practices. They struck that deal in December that would release funds for staff raises and certain projects in exchange for ending those programs. And so we saw some of those projects gain final approval in the last few weeks.
There were some noteworthy bills that did not make it through both chambers this session. Is there anything we should be keeping our eye on for next session?
Yeah, a few high-profile bills didn't make it through. Everyone always has their eye on marijuana-related legislation, for example. And while Assembly Republicans introduced a very limited medical marijuana program, that didn't get taken up in the Senate. So that's dead for now. We'll pay attention to whether that gets brought back next session. There are also two interesting pieces of bipartisan legislation that didn't make it through. One would expand Medicaid coverage to low-income moms for up to a year postpartum. This is a bipartisan proposal, and it's a policy that's been adopted in 46 other states and the District of Columbia, and it passed out of the Senate here almost unanimously, but then it didn't get brought to the Assembly floor for a vote. Another would have allowed absentee ballots to be readied for processing a day before Election Day. Right now, ballots have to be processed beginning on Election Day. And so in Milwaukee, where there are a lot more residents than elsewhere, simply the process of opening envelopes takes time. And so that kind of leads to why we get Milwaukee's results so much later than anywhere else. In 2020, this meant that former President Donald Trump's lead was overturned in the middle of the night when they finally finished processing Milwaukee's totals. And then that fed into conspiracy theories that something shady was happening. So both sides of the aisle have promoted this bill as a way of reestablishing some trust in that counting system. So we'll see if that gets retaken up outside of a presidential election year.
There were a couple of proposed constitutional amendments that got brought up this session. Those are ones that, you know, could sidestep the governor. Can you remind us what the process is for getting an amendment passed and where we're at with some of those ones that were brought up this session?
Yeah, so to remind people, first is how typically a bill becomes a law. It gets passed by the Assembly and the Senate, and then the governor signs it, becomes a law. A law can also be overturned by a similar process. And then if a governor doesn't want a bill to become a law, he can veto it. So we see a lot of that dynamic right now because of having a divided government, a Republican legislature, and a Democratic governor with wildly different priorities. We do see a lot of things that get passed by the Republican legislature and then vetoed by the Democratic governor. But changes to the Constitution are much more permanent, and then they bypass that process. Instead, they're passed by the legislature twice in a row, so in two consecutive sessions, and then they go before voters. So the governor does not get a chance to weigh in. So this can be a chance both to move a party's agenda along without that threat of veto, and then also to enshrine whatever gets passed a little bit more permanently. Wisconsin voters will take up a few of these amendments this election year, including one that would ban the use of private funds in elections and another to change how the state spends federal money. Those are interesting in part because they're clearly consequences of 2020. They're a reaction to the 2020 presidential election and to COVID-19 spending. And then the legislature also passed a few proposed amendments for the first time this past session. So we're waiting to see if they'll take it up again for second consideration next session. It would forbid houses of worship from being closed during a state of emergency, like a pandemic. And then another is actually a reaction to something that happened last year. Listeners may remember that Governor Evers used his partial veto power to cross out some punctuation in the state budget and ensure school funding for 402 years instead of 2 years. So this proposal would forbid a governor from using his or her veto pen in a way that would increase anyone's taxes.
I kind of want to bring it full circle back to the beginning of what we talked about and, you know, how there were a few pieces of legislature that we should possibly be keeping an eye on. This is the last session where lawmakers are going to be serving under these maps, which are very Republican. The next legislature will be elected under new maps that will be more competitive, according to all different independent analysis that have looked at these. So what are some things that we should be looking for? What does that exactly mean in terms of what could get brought up next year?
Yeah, one aspect of this last legislative session, so beginning in January of 2023, is that we saw some significant bipartisan compromises around funding for local communities and a sales tax increase in Milwaukee and funding for the Brewers Stadium, among others. People who have been doing this work much longer than I have said that it is one of the most kind of bipartisan, significant bipartisan pieces of legislation that they've observed here in Wisconsin. And so, you know, right now it's kind of taken for granted that we had this severely divided government, right? So there's not always a ton of political will to work towards bipartisanship in that manner. One could imagine then that if the maps are more competitive, that there could be greater incentive for lawmakers to work across the aisle. So when I, you know, talked about some of those bipartisan proposals that already exist, like medical marijuana or Medicaid expansion for moms, issues like that, I think, could have a better shot under more competitive maps. And then, of course, if Democrats were to achieve a majority, this could be a whole new ball game. That's not really expected under these maps because they still do favor Republicans. So I do think that bipartisanship will kind of continue to be the name of the game if anyone wants to accomplish anything under divided government.
Anya Van Wagtendonk, WPR State Capitol reporter, thanks for joining us and helping us recap a busy legislative session. We appreciate it.
Thanks so much for having me.